Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the Leadership File, your weekly show inspiring you to lead for Christ wherever you are. I'm Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for joining us. And whether you're listening live or one of the many thousands who've listened via the podcast, it's great to have you along. If you're new to the show, a reminder that you can find the show on premierradio.com or via iTunes or Podbean after the event. My aim with the shows is to provide knowledge, skills and attitudes for a Christian to lead so that God's work is advanced. So do continue to join us, and God helping us, we will flourish in his ways. Well, I first heard about this organisation when a friend told me of a young woman he knew who'd received funding to provide meals for low-income families during the summer months when local authority subsidy for meals was not available. I discovered that this was one of a number of ideas that had been funded by investors rather in the manner of the approach popularised in BBC's Dragon's Den. The organisation is called the Cinnamon Network UK and began emerging in 2010, so named because the Christian leaders met at the Cinnamon Club in London. Not only has the Cinnamon Network provided an innovative way of funding projects, it has also pioneered a leadership approach that is extremely rare in the charity sector, having appointed 12 months ago two co-CEOs, Amanda Bindon and the Reverend Mike Royal. So Amanda and Mike, join me to talk about how you lead with the two CEO models. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you along. I'm sure my summary of Cinnamon Network hasn't done the ministry justice, so I'm sure you've often been described in terms of Dragon's Den before. Is it a comparison you like?
I quite like it, but I would say that the dragons are nice. One of our distinctives is that we really are looking for organisations who are partnering and working with a local church in grassroots community who've got great ideas, but don't just want to do it in one place, but want to replicate it in several places. And we have a model that supports them, rather like Dragon's Den, sure, to do that. And we call that our incubation. Yeah. And we have an event called Project Lab that we're becoming well known for, which is really trying to find the best of those projects and journey with them over the next 2 years of development, but obviously into the future of their scaling and replication in partnership with the local church. Mm.
Thanks, Mike. Amanda, are you a fan of the Dragon's Den?
I absolutely. I think that's a little unfair in the fact that I think Mike's right, actually. They're very friendly dragons. For me, it's an absolute highlight of the year, the Project Lab evening, when we actually come to the end of this search. We start searching about February. The event takes place in June. Last year, we had over 230 applications of interest in the programme. And then we had 48 completed applications. And that application is quite an exercise in itself. And it really helps projects focus on what they do and how they do it and what makes them special. Mm. And they have to even include a little short film that they do on their iPhones. Mm. And the evening, therefore, is a number of people who want to invest in those projects in the room in a great location. Last year, we used Mercer's Hall. And it's just a coming together of like-minded people who want to see the church answer a lot of the issues we see in society today. And you simply can't walk outside your front door without being confronted with an issue, with somebody perhaps homeless on the street or somebody hungry. Mm. And for us, while there are people out there in need, we, the church, need to step up and step out. Mm-hmm. And this is our way of finding some great projects that will answer those social needs.
And of those 48, how many might be?
So we ended up with five on the night, two winners who won £30,000 development grants, but more importantly, 2 years on the incubation programme, which Mike has spoken about. Mm. And all of the projects were funded from within the room as well. And because of that, all five of them are actually now on that incubation journey. And Mike and I have just spent time with them in their first of their residentials. And it's just so exciting to see these projects learning and growing and peer supporting each other. So that's good. But also another part of our work, which I know Mike's heads up, is the work we do with the churches. Mike, the work with the churches?
Yeah, I mean, we're not just about finding the next projects, but we're actually also about supporting, advising, pulling up a chair alongside local churches to help them to think intelligently about how they develop their work with their communities. Mm. Our experience kind of is that even bigger churches just need some advice and help. And so we have a team of advisors throughout the regions of the UK that are there, and their charitable object is to really get alongside a church and advise them how they might do community engagement well.
So you're a pastor in Birmingham. How did you connect particularly with the Cinnamon Network?
My professional background, interestingly, started as an urban planner. So I'm an urban planner by background here in London. Ministry's sort of taken me all around the country, Birmingham via Yorkshire. But while I spent some time in Yorkshire, just became much more aware that what was more important was beyond the four walls of the church than sometimes what's within the four walls of the church. And so at the time, we set up a charity called Transforming Lives for Good. So I was one of the founding trustees, working with vulnerable children and young people at risk of exclusion from school. I was national director for 10 years.
That's TLG.
As often as shortened and known as. So all of their alternative provision, that was my piece. I was working with churches to set up alternative provision around the country. And around about 2013, we were a number of organisations that came together that began to look at replication as a whole. So in the room were Street Passers, Trussell Trust Food Bank, Christians Against Poverty. I had a hat on then as TLG. Really, it was John Kirkby who kind of brought us together from CAP. And then next year, he kind of handed the whole thing over to Cinnamon. And the rest is history. That's when I first came involved with Cinnamon. And then, obviously, a year ago, had the privilege of taking over the co-CEO role with Amanda.
Right. And your roots, Amanda, to this work?
My roots are very different. Mm. My background is in marketing. Mm. I started my career in Esso. Then moved to Jacobs and Pizza Hut, and latterly set up the Waitrose marketing department and put Waitrose on television.
So that's four brands already that we've all heard of, yes. Well done.
I went on maternity leave to have my second child, William. And my husband had three by his first marriage. So overnight, I became a mother of five. They all came to live with us. And I think that was the moment when, with my strong belief that every child deserves a loving and secure home and upbringing in whatever shape or form that takes, it was the moment when God said, actually, going back and doing your corporate career is not really the way forward. Yeah. And so it brought about a radical change in thinking for me. Mm. I've moved into the working for churches and charity. And I think that's been really exciting. And it's worked really, really well with being a mother of a large, blended, mixed-race family. Mm. And I came to work with Cinnamon in 2015. And it's just been a great journey. Mm. And Mike and I have shared it en route.
Mm. Right. So obviously the word leadership can be used in all sorts of settings. And what kind of leadership, in a sense, do you provide for Cinnamon, the two of you?
I think we provide a leadership that is challenging for our teams, but we also are fundamentally encouraging, looking to bring out the gifts and talents that each of our team members mm-hmm. have. I think that's something we both firmly believe in. And also what we are both, and I think we've begun to already, you can hear that in the way we've been talking, is we're both very outward looking in where we come from, our different perspectives. Mm. So we bring those that outward perspective into our work. And also we have a very strong set of strong values, but they're also shared values. And we build on that different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I think two things for me. I think leadership needs to be inspirational. I think it needs to see what's on the horizon and inspire people to reach for that. But it also needs to be operational. And so it is about putting in systems and processes that will work, that will stand the organisation in good stead and make sure that it actually is able to implement the strategy that it puts in place.
So it's leadership and management coming together very much. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we're coming to a break in a minute, but just to start the question of how did the two CEO model come about? I mean, someone must have thought about it to invite the opportunity.
Yes, I mean, it came at a time of change for Cinnamon. Mm. We were at a moment when actually our vision and our founder, Matt Bird, was moving on to set up and run International, which he now does. And so there was a recognition from the trustees that we needed a wider skill base and a wider leadership style at the top. And they came to Mike and I and talked to us, and we talked together. And what we always felt is that actually it would be an exciting opportunity to actually share the role as co-CEOs. And Cinnamon has always been a pioneer in innovation. So as far as they was concerned, you know, why not pioneer at the top and demonstrate how this co-CEO model could work?
Yeah, and it's been a great journey. A year on. We're still alive, and Cinnamon is thriving, which is the important thing. And just from my perspective, it's been a great joy to be working alongside Amanda.
Fabulous. Well, you're listening to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Amanda Bindon and Reverend Mike Royal. They're from the Cinnamon Network, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Amanda Bindon and Reverend Mike Royal. They are pioneers to some extent in being two co-CEOs of the Cinnamon Network. We were talking before the break a little of the Cinnamon Network's ministry. And we're going to kind of dig in a little bit to how you work as two CEOs. Were there teething problems? I appreciate this may be a struggle to answer honestly, but I don't, you know, you'd be as honest as you like about the teething problems that you might have faced.
I think actually, sat where you are, you can watch Mike and my body language together and the smiles. We get on fundamentally incredibly well.
Right.
And I think that is a key strength, actually, is we respect each other hugely. We have deep respect for each other. Yeah. We value each other's experience and opinion. And so that develops a whole sense of trust. The fact is that we talk about everything. We're very open. We talk together. We also pray together. And we share a lot of laughter together. And I think we're also blessed by a hugely supportive family. So that's part of the recipe for success. Yeah. And I think Mike speaks very eloquently about how we started getting to know each other.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say in any relationship, whether you're talking about a business relationship, a charitable organisation, or even a marital relationship, the importance of storming is underrated, I think. I think oftentimes people back off from conflict. And actually, before we were co-CEO, while we were on the team in our respective roles, actually, we did clash. And but what that did was is that it brought into the open some of the differences that we had. And actually, on a day-to-day basis, there are moments where we do have disagreements. But it's always, firstly, from a point of, as Amanda's already said, respect. But secondly, wanting the best for the organisation. But finally, and most importantly, actually, the moment that disagreement is finished with, it really is finished with. We're not harping anything against each other, but moving forward. And I would just encourage leaders out there, if there's tension and there's stuff that you need to deal with it, actually deal with it. Conflict is good, and it leads you to a greater place of trust, the kind of trust that Amanda spoke of earlier that we've managed to develop together.
Oh, well done. I mean, do you divide the responsibilities? Is that kind of how it functions a little bit?
Yeah, we do, yeah. So I tend to pick up the more kind of external facing stuff. So church relationships, our advisors team, I look after that. I also look after fundraising. And Amanda, you?
Well, I look after basically the finances, very important in charity, HR, marketing and communications. And then what happens is, as issues and things arise, we talk together and we go, well, you're best placed to work with that key relationship, or I'm best placed, or actually physically one of us can't get there and then the other one does it. So we it's very unusual to see us both together. So actually this is nice for us too.
Right.
But it is, it's about as work comes in and as issues need to be sorted, we just go, you're best placed to do this, I'll do that.
And so that trust is key, because there'll be occasions where you may have to make a decision that the others, you can't, you know, I'm just going to phone Mike or I'm just going to phone Amanda. It's you know, you have to get on with it sometimes.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that trust is, and respect is absolutely critical. And also, if Mike, something great happens for Mike, I'm really pleased for him and vice versa. So neither is ever trying to sort of elbow above the other one. There's no, we're not competitive with each other at all. No. We just want to be the best versions of ourselves and we want it for the other person. And we want Cinnamon to be the best version of itself.
We've got the, you know, we've got the famous phrase, haven't we, as Christians, what would Jesus do? And well, sometimes I have conversations, perhaps, with a team member and they're wanting a decision. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what would Amanda do? What would she want? And it's trying to be sensitive. And there are moments where you just need to make a call and you need to kind of think, well, this is what I think my co-CEO would want. There are other times when you just kind of need to make a call because it's your area of responsibility. And actually, there's times where you need to hold off and say, let me have a conversation with Amanda and come back to you.
Okay. Because I was going to ask the question, because for some leadership styles, the fact that they can make singular decisions is part of the joy of it. And I'm just wondering if you kind of miss that in the co-CEO. But it sounds as if you can still do that on occasion anyway.
My comment on that would be, if you're a very task-orientated leader, then kind of being able to make singular decisions is really important to you. We are both people-orientated leader, different types of people-orientated leader. I would suggest that Amanda is quite a, how would I describe it, amiable leader. I'm quite an expressive leader, but both of us, the value of people is kind of first and foremost. Where I've worked with leaders who I would describe as, you know, perhaps analytical or more driven, and it's all about task. And I think our leadership styles, although they're different, they actually complement each other. So it's kind of people first, and what we do almost, in some ways, you know, comes after that.
In terms of the Cinnamon Network and how things function, you know, you mentioned this annual gathering in June and you look in February. So how does, what's the kind of cycle of a year? And are you kind of inundated with requests all the time? How does it work?
I mean, we have a very interesting year. So if we start the year kind of from the new year, so the first thing that really is on our agenda is bringing together our current recognised projects. That's really important. We tend to meet them around about February time. And that's a great time where they're just sharing good practice. And Amanda mentioned earlier about our work kind of with new incubating projects. That really kind of kicks in and kind of around about the spring, early summer, we have the whole lead up to Project Lab and finding what the next kind of projects kind of are. Then as we move into the autumn season, we move into a season where we're particularly engaging with our supporters, with our funders, and then all the way through the seasons, we've got our various teams who are spread out across the country, who I would say on a termly basis are coming together for intensive time, but then going away and actually implementing the strategy as it's been written.
Okay, fabulous. Anything to add, Amanda?
I think actually it's interesting that the cinema model basically is everybody works from home. So there is no cinema head office. We all work from home. And our model also is that nobody works full time for us. Everybody works 2, 3, 4 days a week. And they are experts in their own field. So our cinema advisors are also community development experts. And that, I think, is a real strength, actually, because what it does is people bring knowledge from one area they're working in into cinema and vice versa. And that's a real virtuous circle.
Mm. And it's worth probably just saying that there are some leaders and, you know, and some people who you employ and, you know, they need someone standing over them to make sure that, you know, they're being directed for the next task. Cinnamon's not one of those organisations. We are people who want people who are strongly personally led and will get on and implement what they've been given to do in the way that suits them.
Okay, and I appreciate you may this may be like asking to select one of your children, but give us some examples of what's happening in the Project Lab at the moment in terms of.
Yes, I think that's a very fair question. Actually, it's a bit like selecting, asking me which is my favourite child. I have none, just so that they know. At the moment, I've spent some time with Gemma of Truth Be Told.
Okay.
And she is doing absolutely outstanding work on an intergenerational basis, which I think is always a challenge. So basically what she's doing is she is taking the equivalent of a mother and toddler, i.e. preschool children, into residential care homes. And each week they tell a particular story and have a song and some activities round one of God's truths, like I'm loved, you know, things like that. And that's something that she's doing in care homes with young mothers and toddlers. And I think that is a fantastic model. And so I think she's an exciting project at the moment to watch.
My choice would be Food for Purpose, which is working with the African and African Caribbean community. My background is African Caribbean, Jamaican. I'm married to a Ghanaian, so actually well-being and eating well is an important issue for our communities. And just they were on the Project Lab last year, so year two has been this year for them, and just to see their journey and where they're taking this initiative is incredible. They're really beginning to get alongside churches and actually really help them to meet the needs of the African and the African Caribbean community around healthy eating and well-being in a way I'm not seeing at any other organisation quite doing it quite so innovatively. So, yeah, very excited about Food for Purpose.
Fabulous. Well, we're coming to the end, sadly, of our conversation, but just how can people learn more? I guess this might be a question for Amanda, being the marketing woman.
I think actually it's about always being open to ideas, not just in your own area, but from other areas. I think it's about keeping yourself fresh and excited in your job, whatever that takes, if that's walks in the park or it's just balance in your life. And I think you need to pray. And God provides answers and courage and inspiration in lots and lots of ways.
And if you want to know more about Cinnamon Network and our journey and how we can support you as a local church looking to reach out into its community or a great project idea that might want to replicate, then it's www.cinnamonnetwork.co.uk. That's www.cinnamonnetwork.co.uk.
Fabulous. And cinnamon's got two N's, hasn't it? I discovered.
It has.
well, three. Two in a minute.
Yeah,
two
that's
in a minute.
Right.
One of the N's. Yes, fabulous. Good. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to Mike Royal and thank you to Amanda Minden for sharing so much of what an amazing ministry is in terms of cinnamon. So thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined, as I've said, by Amanda Minden and Reverend Mike Royal. They're two CEOs of the Cinema Network UK. And do go to Premier's own website and find archived versions of Leadership File, including this one in due course. And you can listen again and connect once again with the ministry. So look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.